I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU and 88.5 WMUB. Good morning. Glad to have you along. And glad to welcome a local author into the Cincinnati Edition studio this morning. Mike Dew is here to talk about his novel Immaterial, Book One, Discovery, the first in a trilogy of a story that is based at least a part of the time on the Northern Kentucky University campus. And we're here to find out more about that setting from Mike. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
So let's begin with the setting where it is there in Highland Heights at Northern Kentucky University. I had seen an article that talked about you using this setting. Why did you decide NKU was a good setting for your novel?
Well, I am a graduate from NKU. Go Norse. And really happy to see some of the progress the campus is making now, being a Division I school in athletics and whatnot, as well as going back to the campus and looking around and just seeing all these new buildings, much of which was not there when I was a student. So as I started writing the book, I had visions of, well, it takes place on a college campus. So I would have these visions that would just come to mind that, oh, well, this is at the little Skyline Tavern at the top of the street, right, where I used to go at lunch, or this is in the dorms. And so, of course, my own experiences came through, but I was very chagrined to go over to the campus and take a walk around and find out how much had changed. And I was like, well, now it doesn't fit. This is horrible. So I did kind of make an amalgam, if you will, of past and present. In terms of what's there.
Oh, write what you know, and you know, I think your memories probably serve you well as to way it used to be as it goes along. But you also, sure. It's not only NKU, but you know, have Fort Thomas that's mentioned in there, and Walton, Kentucky plays a role as well. But,
absolutely.
You know, why Walton?
Well, you know, trying to ask somebody to come up with where ideas come from in the psyche is very, it's nebulous. I really don't know, other than I do have family who live there. The Dew family, out in Walton, and my uncle actually owned the Creamy Whip or Dairy Whip, I don't really know the right name of the place, but Colonial Press, yes, one of the printing places, that's all mentioned in the book. So going from things that I know, and also having known that Walton had one of their favorite sons, Steve Cawthon, I grew up in the era where he was, you know, on top of his game in the horse racing thing, and Walton was really well known for that. I would have liked to have put my own hometown of Erlanger, Kentucky in the book, but by then I'd already written a couple hundred pages where I was referring to something that was, you know, a 40-minute drive from campus, right? So took a look at Google Maps. There we go. We're 40 minutes away. That puts us in Walton.
Okay.
So, there's some logistical issues there.
The magic of writing. The magic of
That's
writing
right.
as it goes along. Well, how would you describe Immaterial? I was trying to find a way to introduce it because there's, I guess you could call a little bit of science in there, a little bit of the supernatural. There's religion. There's a bit of a thriller aspect to it. A lot of, you know, unknowns. It's quite a tale. How do you describe it to friends?
Wow. I think you just summed it up. It's a good mishmash of a variety of different trains
of thought. An organized mishmash.
Organized, hopefully logical. Logically presented with a good dose of suspense from chapter to chapter. This is it's sort of a product of things that I've been thinking about for decades. I was raised Catholic, okay? So there's a religious, a faith versus science thread going through the whole book. And so I was raised Catholic, but then by the time that I got to college, I had a world religions class at NKU, sort of opened my eyes to all the different types of religions and what people believed. And I sort of came away from that with more of an agnostic look at the world. And then I started to read some atheistic authors, such as Richard Dawkins and others. And I think I had mentioned, I'm not sure if you had seen it in the book or where you had seen this, but I had read The Origin of the Species and The Descent of Man by Charles Darwin. It really pretty much took me right up to the door of, you know, at one point I remember thinking, I really feel sorry for religious people. I was ready to chuck it because this model of evolution seemed like it was just so logical. And I'm not going to dispense with that, by the way, because I still feel that it is a very logical model and it is very explanatory for our world. But in terms of what created that mechanism, I'm not ready to necessarily say that there is no God who took that and put it in place. Or you know, I personally do believe that. And I wanted to sort of bring that out in the book, that is, for as much as science tries to assert that there is no God, that there, you know, there is an immaterial side to things. And really, the big what if of the book is, you know, we've got this big debate that just continues to go. It's one of the longest debates ever, is there a God or is there not a God, right? So I thought, what if there was some kind of experiential evidence that suddenly became available that put an end to that argument? And that's really the impetus for the entire story is, wow, what if we had something that we no longer was an issue? We just put that to bed. But then it really kind of evolves into maybe there would still be elements of society who would not embrace that. And how would that look and how would that happen? There would probably be some people who would sort of say, well, you know, that really doesn't fit the scientific model. It's not testable. Mm-hmm. Even if it's experientially proof of a supernatural world, if it still didn't adhere to the scientific model, you'd probably still find some people who would not embrace that. So that's the start.
Well, and it's interesting because you dance right along the fence as it goes, and leaving a lot to the reader to discern themselves. But I noticed in the foreword that you're very careful about warning the reader about what comes up. You do seem to be tap dancing, worried that you're going to offend somebody because there's religion and science involved, and without giving too much away, drugs as well. That, you know, it seems you're a little tentative. What was your reason for qualifying things in the foreword?
Well, I guess as an artist, I kind of consider myself an artist coming from a musical background. I used to play music here in the local Cincinnati scene. Did a few of my own CDs. And one thing I learned from that whole process is the minute you put yourself out there as an artist or anything that you create and share with other people, you're just immediately opening yourself up for criticism. So I guess I always have that in the back of my mind. So I did include a foreword to say, look, here's what's coming. And I'd kind of like you to know where I'm coming from. Here's my background. So you don't try to paint me off as just, this way or that. I think most people are multidimensional in our nature, and we want to be treated that way. Now, we're very complicated people, just by everybody, every man on the street, woman on the street. We're deep. Everybody's mm-hmm. deep. But yet society tends to want to paint us as unidimensional. So I just really wanted to sort of put that in and say, hey, look, I've actually gone through a journey here. What I'm about to share with you is a result of a lot of thought. And before you try to just dismiss me as one way or the other, I would just like to share that with you. So that's where the foreword came from.
Well, with NKU as the setting and quite a story being woven in and out, using that as a setting, you have two more novels in the series that you have planned for Immaterial. Mm-hmm. More NKU, or have we seen most of the NKU here in the first book? Can you share that, Mike, I guess?
Oh, yes, I can. I don't want to have too many spoilers out there, but
no.
You know, you did mention that there's some thriller aspects to the book, and mm-hmm. there is essentially one very evil-minded kind of individual who wants to conquer the world and promote his agenda. So his exploits will take him to Zanzibar, to Lisbon, Spain. So there does get to be more of an international presence in the next two books. But I guess in some ways I kind of laugh at this because I didn't recognize this until after I had written all three of these books. But there is sort of a Lord of the Rings feel to this whole thing. The college students living in the Dale of NKU who suddenly are drawn into events that take them far beyond their placid little existence in Highland Heights, Kentucky. So, yeah, it does definitely expand internationally in the other books.
Well, quite interesting. Can't wait to see the other two books in the series, Mike. But thanks for being here this morning.
Great. I appreciate your time.
Mike Dew, author of the first book in a trilogy, Immaterial is the name of the series. Book one is called Discovery. You can find it where books are sold and find a link at our website, wvxu.org, where you can learn more about the book and Mike. This is Cincinnati Edition, 91.7 WVXU.